Now, this is one of those things, when things get too heavy, just call me Helium.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
It's like rain.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56.
Throw you a curveball.
Yeah, you got me, man, on that one. I was like looking to see who the hell was on the other room. I was like, is Darren over there? Who is this? I've heard it.
Rhonda, man.
I mean, where's the irony?
I don't know. You got some?
I don't know. I mean, I figured you had one if we're going with Alanis. With, you know,
oh, is that who that
Alanis
is?
Morris there, man. Joe,
great. I was like, that's another horse mouth girl that he loves. Ain't nothing like a bunch of teeth that turns on Darian. You got a bunch of teeth, man. Don't let that man around the dude that just won the Preakness.
Shout out to Hannah Storm, man.
Shout out also, who's your favorite girl over in
Sarah
Arkansas?
Sarah Huckabee.
He on his own Huckabee, though.
Oh, Wilbur. You say that, and Darian's like, no pills. No needles, no nothing.
Damn, I think Morrison just threw my DJ skills back a year or two. I won't do that again.
I will tell you, though, if Alanis gave you ED, guess what? I got the absolute treatment. Apex RF over at Bluff City Health and Wellness. Give them a call at 901-800-7606. Restore natural performance, blood flow and sensitivity. Enhance your stamina and confidence. And again, man, no pills. Because you know what happens, man. You're an older man, you're dating, you're back on that scene again. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, I haven't been on a date in a while. I'm a little bit nervous. So maybe you take you a little benzo. Have a glass of wine at dinner. Man, you know what happens? You done forgot where you put your pills.
Pill stash.
You closed the deal, but you can't find your pills because you hid them from yourself. And guess what? Now she's gone.
Now the deal is blown.
Now the deal is blown. When all you had to do was go to Bluff City Health and Wellness. Again, it's 15 minutes, no downtown, no side effects, no pills, no needles, no nothing. Just natural performance, baby. And you know you can't get in the box and already feel defeated. You're going to strike out.
You know, this is always fun. We have people with us in the studio for the first time when they really don't know how we rock and they see how wild we are.
Well, I'm fired up, though, because we got Ricky Fondren. I'm wondering if he's related to my friend Tracy Fondren, but he said he doesn't know. But you never know in Memphis. You know what I'm saying? I've been meeting cousins constantly. But my man Ricky, he wrote a book. It's the playbook. It's about some hoops. We're going to talk to him a little bit, and we're going to talk a lot about basketball today. And again, before we get into anything, first and foremost, Ricky, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Before we get into what you wrote and everything, I just want to know a little bit about...
You got a Tony Allen quote on the book, man.
I know, man.
Do you really? Man, oh, I didn't like, see
man,
this
what
book.
What's going on with Big Bro, man? Here we go.
Let's see what we got.
About that...
Oh, you what? Do have a Tony Allen.
Yeah, it's dope. I love his quote.
Guy the with grit his team. And grind mentality.
Yeah. You know, publishing companies say, get endorsements. So I landed an endorsement with Tony. And I think it's a great quote. Right after he made that quote, we honored him, and he went wild at the game where they honored him. I was
That's
like, oh.
He got his jersey retired.
He got his jersey retired. I'm like, he's on my back of my book, and he's flat. Cutting up at this thing. It was great. It was on TV. I was like, this is wild. But so happy I'm here. Y'all are really making me feel at home. I love the atmosphere. It's a great atmosphere. I feel at home.
Man, I will tell you one thing. I also just like to open up your book. You gave this and you signed it, so I want one too. It says the J-Ham, always increase your vertical. The higher you jump in faith, the wider you pass in love. I really do like that quote. And this
it's perfect
is
perfect for a short guy like me.
Yes, yes. It's also perfect for a guy like me who has no vertical. That's why I play shorty ball.
He got an 8.5 foot goal.
And I use a
WNBA
women's basketball. Because I can palm a women's basketball, yeah, dunking, bro. I can dunk in everything.
And he talks his most trash when on that level. I
mean, yes.
The same dimensions that we had when we were playing when we were 10 years old.
Yeah, yeah, baby. Because you tell them 10-year-olds to come on over to my house, I'm going to work them. Now, I do want to know first and foremost, though, Ricky, what inspired you to write this book?
Man, I love basketball. I love basketball. So as I began to grow in faith, I would get stories or parallel stories from basketball to, like, principles that I found, like, in faith. I was like, this is cool. Like, I can talk about basketball.
And still preach the book.
Yeah, it's like, and we know this, there are always life lessons just built. Mm-hmm. You cannot escape the life lessons that sports provide. And that's especially true in basketball. So that's kind of like why I wrote the book.
Man, and there's another thing about there you just kind of mentioned. Sports is so important, I think, for young people for so many reasons. You get to meet so many different types of people.
Yes.
You get exposed to everything. You have to understand in sports that it takes hard work to get better. Winning is great, but losing is part of life, and losing is a part of sports as well. And it's how you handle yourself. And like, these are some serious lessons that, you know, a lot of young people, unfortunately, in the era that we are in, it does feel like there's like, as we have millions of leagues.
Yep.
But we don't have enough, I think, men to actually coach the kids.
Very much.
I still see, I mean, I know some great coaches, and they had a huge impact in my life. And I know also some coaches who are straight ass.
Straight whack.
And who are whack. And it, yeah, it didn't work. True. So one thing is we need more kids in sports, but we need more men who are actually leaders and understand how to teach. Do you think this book can help some men out there who want to give back, who want to be a part of sports, but actually don't know necessarily the life lessons that they need to teach?
1,000%. This book is a good book for kids and men. It's a resource for coaches because we know when you're playing basketball, everybody, they have aspirations to go pro.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody won't go pro.
Nope.
In sports or in basketball. But can you go pro in life?
Yeah.
That's the question. So those life lessons are built into the game.
Yeah.
And you cannot escape them. I mean, in every, it's a team sport, first of all. Mm-hmm. So you cannot survive in life without teamwork. You were not meant to do life on your own, which is especially true for men to realize that, because you know how we can get, we want to internalize. Mm-hmm. No man is an island. Every man can be an island, considering the circumstance. So those life lessons are built in. So yes, it's a powerful resource for coaches, and they need it. So it's like, it's a template.
And just like that, when you especially when we're speaking about team, it's like team equals community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you build them within that community. This is why it was so great for us to have that coming up. We think about the men that we came up with. We were just talking about before we went back on. Ralph Jackson, yep. Floyd Brown, yep. My dad, yep. You know what I'm saying? And several others, you know, that was in and around just in our community in Whitehaven. And we still got that kind of love in Whitehaven, which is why we seeing Whitehaven shine in right. The manner that it shines, you know, just across the city. But sports and life go hand in hand, man.
Yeah.
You know, just all the time. I think about all the stuff that you have pops used to just go at us, but it always had purpose. And we were just 8, 9, 10 years old.
We didn't fully understand it at the time.
Yeah. But we remembered it, yep. And it was like, aha, mm-hmm. You know. And no matter how long it took for us to get to that aha moment, yeah. We still was able to learn. That's the beautiful part about it.
And speaking of community, like, shout out to Memphis. The basketball community came together this weekend with the EYBL. And to be in that atmosphere and to see that community, like, live in Memphis, it was a beautiful thing to take in. And that's a part of what this book is about. Yes, they were there to showcase their skills, but to see that community come together, the basketball fan, the casual fan, this sense of unity, everybody trying to help somebody, cheer somebody out. That's what it's all about, man.
Right.
It's really what it's all about.
I love this. In the game of life, we don't have the luxury of being spectators. Our team is always on the court, and the stakes couldn't be higher. The playbook shows you how to win big in life by executing essential strategies such as, and then it just goes on. And I mean, it just, I have to say, man. And the thing is, it's going to be an easy read, people. This is not going to be something that you're feeling like this is painful. This is, you sit down, you could sit down and lose yourself. Man.
And it looked like something you can go back to quickly for quick references when needed.
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
You could ride the 50 all the way from downtown out to Dead Gum Germantown and be done with the book.
You could keep a copy of this little joint and you know what's on page 47 that you know you need to show somebody that, you know, could be very pivotal in helping them.
Also doesn't even just, I mean, like, it walks you through basically life is the way I'm looking at this, because it talks about basically the first quarter, you know, earning your stripes. And then you go into the Mamba mentality. You talk about patience, the process. The process of surrender, the process of healing, the process of forgiveness, the process of humility.
Ricky, you may have just like taken our show through therapy.
I know I need
with
it.
This because I'm looking at John and I know how John will break down when he came, when he gets on an irate tangent about so what somebody did the night before. It might go for about 5 to 10 minutes, but it's like watching him flip through these pages is like he's getting his woosah back. And it's helping me because I don't have to calm him down no more.
I'm cool with that, man. I'm fully okay with being the resident sports radio therapist.
I mean, this is something I think we're going to have to do. And the thing is that you go through this is you literally walk people all the way from the beginning, all the way to the end, all the way to where, let's say they made it to trusting their brands, what the coaches can do. I mean, you got Evander Holyfield in here, Penny Hardaway quotes. You got it, Tony Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, you got more, you got Bible verses out the frizz aim. Everything kind of goes back to one thing, and that's you growing as a person.
Yes.
In the grand scheme of what your life will be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another thing that I'm proud about is we honor Memphis in the book. So you mentioned the first quarter, earning your Tiger Stripes. It's all about the basketball story that is Memphis landing the number one recruiting class in
Wiseman.
2019. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the power of influence.
Oh, why I've did those read kids, that.
Yeah, why did they come? Because the influence of Penny Hardaway, the influence of James Wiseman. So everybody has influence. So,
and think about the situation that turned into,
right.
What they had to learn and grow with.
You got to learn and grow.
And you know what? Yeah. Still, fans are always going to be a part of it, and the media is always going to be a part of it. Social media is always going to be out there. People are always going to get criticism.
Absolutely.
It's how you handle with, when people are pushing you down, it's how you know, like, it's, you have to lean on something. And
absolutely.
If you can lean on your faith, and if you can lean on the people that are always there for you, you can get back.
My man got a
iron sharpens iron, baby.
Positive pages of faith right there.
Now, you used basketball.
Yes.
But one thing I was going to say is I kind of was just in here thinking that you could use almost any sport.
Any sport, absolutely.
You really could.
Yeah.
On the diamond, baseball, you know, I think baseball players are probably the most cocky and arrogant, egotistical people on the planet. You have to have an extreme confidence to play a game.
You do.
You have to realize you're only – if you're successful 30 freaking percent of the time, you're in the Hall of Fame.
No. Yo. That's so wow.
I mean, you're failing 70% of the time. Baseball is such a mental game, and it's how you handle failure. I think it's one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life because, again, you are going to fail. I failed many a times. I have screwed up so many times, it's not even funny, and I thought the end of the world was happening. I never thought I was going to be able to get a job at one point. Remember, beat up a cab driver, stole his taxi. Now, he did try to rob me. Got out of it, but I had to reset myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, through, like, working my ass off and paying my debt, you can come back and you can actually – look, I'm here on the radio right now talking to y'all. And that was a long damn time ago, by the way.
It's a great comeback story. I love it.
But, again, it's like, you know, you just – young people in life, especially I feel like high school to college and then in college into when you're going to be a young adult, those are the most difficult times because when you're the best of the best in high school – and then you go to college and you realize you're just another
slate
dude.
Is clean. Yeah.
And that slate's yes. There are so many people who fail just because they forgot how to work hard.
Yeah.
And there are so many people who have been working hard, who continue to work hard and put in the work that end up becoming better than that 5-star because they put in the damn work.
Yeah.
What you got for me, my man Jerry got fired up.
And there's so many guys that go from high school to college. And you wondering why you got so many hometown heroes and not enough in the big leagues and stuff like that is because when they was in high school and they had a name, they failed to keep working hard because they had everything from their coach given to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know several guys like that personally.
Yep, and that's a fact. I do too, man.
He's just 25 years old.
I know. That's why I'm so glad you found that kid.
God, I was thinking the same thing he just said, though. That's so real and so true.
Because, again, that's one of the things I feel like I know a lot of young people, and throughout the years I've watched so many of them have everything handed to them, and then once they get everything
–
they forget to work. It's kind of like, you know, Marvelous Marvin Hagler said, it's hard to get up at 5 a.m. and run 20 miles when you're sleeping in silk in between silk sheets with two women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is hard. But damn it, that's what you got to do if you want to stay on top. You got to keep working.
I think of Ben Simmons when I think of
him.
Because he...
He just 6'10", never could figure out if he was left or right-handed.
6'10", can handle the rock.
Ambidextrous.
Ambidextrous, can get to the spot where he wanted to get to, but he never was able to get his jumper to be comfortable to shoot a mid-range jumper. And it got to the point to where it affected him to where he's in playoff games passing layups. He's passing wide. He's 6'10", but he's being guarded by 6 feet Kyle Lowry in a playoff game. And it's shutting this man down like that. And the way that Doc aired him out.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't respond well to how Doc aired him out. It shut him down. He needed this book. He needed it to recenter himself to get back to working hard, or at least working harder than what he was working that got him D1, which you got to remember, when he was at LSU, they didn't make the tournament.
Nope, they did not.
They did not make the tournament, and he was not eligible for any postseason awards because that fool wasn't going to class. So it's like his whole, but he still went number one overall.
Yep.
Even with all that, but then he got the masket behind all NBAs and all stars, and then it got exposed when they played Atlanta.
So I'm happy you mentioned Ben Simmons, because there is a chapter in there. I think it's halftime or maybe the third quarter. The process that you mentioned is all about the 76ers and what they did.
Process of humility.
Their mindset going into the process.
Which, see how fast I found that, bro? Yeah,
the process, man. So the basketball story was called The Process, but everything in life is a process. It's a process. So a process of healing, a process, because they had to sit Ben Simmons out. They had to send Embiid out.
Yeah.
You remember Ben Simmons won Rookie of the Year.
He was delayed.
Yeah. Well, Malcolm Brogdon won the year.
Mm-hmm. The year prior. That, right.
Because he got hurt and missed the whole year. Injured.
I love this quote, too. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at due time.
Yeah. You listen, man.
The other thing I want to ask you, though, this is something important, Ricky.
Okay.
All right, now we got kids getting millions of dollars coming out of school, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I know one thing. I think I would have died. And I'm not joking in any way. When I was 18 years old, I thought my ish did not stink. I was God's gift to every woman, to every coach. I had the biggest damn head in the world. And, man, let me tell you something. It was a struggle, number one. And then number two, if I had money.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how weak I was when I'm still weak when it comes to women now. I'm Chaz. I've been good.
Women beating up cab drivers. You would have beat up more than one cab driver. You had them.
I'm afraid I would have probably died. Literally, like, who knows? OD or something, man. Trying anything. Women, I would have said yes to anything at that age. Because, like, one thing that a lot of people out there don't know how to do is say no to their friends. No, say no to your family. The word no is hard to, like, you want to appease everybody.
Yeah.
You like being the center of attention. You like bringing your boys with you. You like taking out this hot girl. You like giving to your mom and your dad.
For real.
And then guess what happens when you give and you give and you get? And when you get out of college, you ain't got nothing left.
Yeah.
And then the tax man comes over and you're like, what do you mean I owe that much?
Yeah.
And it's just, I've just seen it. And again, I've seen it firsthand from a couple of young fellas that I know very well. Got paid at Oxford, did amazing stuff with their money, honestly. Mm-hmm. A lot of giving and a lot of loving. But in April, I heard talk to a couple of them. They were like, where the hell am I going to get this money? Because it's gone. And I'm like, ooh. And your career's over. Uh-oh. Better call the tax man, figure out how to pay that back.
Yeah.
But I'm serious, though, with all the NIL, how does this change? Don't you think this is going to make it harder for coaches, parents, and also individuals to humble themselves?
It already has. It already has. And we see it. Like, there's no sense of loyalty.
The way they transfer is just buck wild.
So you're cheating the process that we're talking about. You're kind of cheating it. It's like a cheat code to it. So then you lack humility. You become arrogant. You think you kind of pump yourself up. Nobody can say anything to you. I just had a conversation with Coach Hollins where he talked about this struggle that he had. Man, you when you introduce millions of dollars and even thousands, it just makes everything that much more, like, that much harder and almost impossible if you don't have the right community and the right mindset and the right, like, upbringing where you're seeing things. So that those things have to be, there is a way to overcome it, but those things have to be instilled in you at an early age and repeatedly, like these constant reminders that, man, because when you get off the mark and you start tripping, you got to have something to go back to, like, man, wait a minute, what am I doing? This is not who I am. I can't allow this money to be my identity. But if you don't have that upbringing and that structure, then you don't really have a chance.
It's that conditioning, that learned behavior, mm-hmm. the proper learned behaviors. Yeah. But it's just really comes down to being righteous, man.
It's an uphill battle, man, because money makes everything, like you said, and you're not by yourself. I would have had those. If you would have given me that money, I would have messed it up.
I mean, I was not the brightest by any means. I can promise you that. I thought with the wrong head from 13 till 47. I'm 48 now. I just got married and I got a brain now and a wonderful wife. But I do have two beautiful daughters that I was always good at, like, you know, help raising my beautiful children. They both graduated from Ole Miss. They're doing well. Both got big girl jobs. I got beautiful grandchildren. It's taking care of yourself, which I think sometimes is the hardest thing. It is 10 times easier for me to take care of somebody else than it is to take care of myself.
And sometimes I think it comes with the fact that you feel like you're stronger than what you really are. And then, but I know this about you personally. You ain't afraid to break it down and let it be, you know? So, and I'm that way too. But it took us some time to get there.
It took us a long damn time. We're lucky we made it. A lot of us didn't. Now, again, back to this book. Where can I find this bad boy? For those who are listening, how can we get this book? It's The Playbook. It's by Ricky Fondren. It's Using Sports to Unlock Faith Principles. I think this is a great read for even if you aren't into sports, bro.
It'll be a daily promotion on my Facebook.
It is a great read, and I can already tell you again. I've already gotten through half of it.
That's so funny. I love.
Now that's the one thing I can't read, but I sure as hell can't write. Man, my penmanship's terrible.
The perfect
but I don't
name,
type either.
The perfect size, the perfect everything, the playbook. Yep. And it's one of those you need to keep a copy in your backpack. Cause that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah. I mean, I three places I always tell people, Amazon, because it's super convenient to get it.
It's so easy, man.
Yeah, it's so super convenient. But I love to tell people that they can get it from Novel because that's local. That's
oh,
the
really?
Way.
I like that better. I want
yeah,
to support local.
Support local. And then so Amazon, local, and Amaricky. You can always get it directly from me.
Reach out, man. Ricky Fondren. Find him. And
social
I know
media.
If you can find him. Where's your social media at?
Amaricky. Ricky Fondren, man. Facebook, Instagram. At Ricky Fondren, at the playbook at Ricky Fondren. So, yep, Amazon, Novel, Amaricky.
And remember, Novel is local.
Yes.
Every coach out there, every dad, every mom, anybody out there, any kid out there who wants to learn about life themselves, and maybe you're a young man and you got more, you know, I've seen it. Unfortunately, there are people out there who have parents that are absolutely really not part of their lives.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah,
it really
very,
does.
Very much.
And coaches then take a really, really big role in those kids' lives. Huge role. And if you're one of those kids, man, honestly, it's ain't expensive. If you need it, if you're a young man, you message me. I'll get you a copy. Hit me up at the Sissy's Log Cabin text and listener line. 901-360-8255. Sissy's, by the way, life's too short for ordinary jewelry. Do not get a cubic zirconium, bro. She will find out. Had a homie who did that, bro.
Find out.
She got dotted. Yeah, she did. He got dotted with that thing. And you couldn't even get mad at her.
No, I couldn't.
You really can't.
Because it was his fault.
Yeah. Don't do that. Sissy's Log Cabin, I'm telling you, they got you. And again, hit me up. If you need one of these books, man, 901-360-8255, let me know. We'll find one for you. Don't touch the dial. Back in two. Shake's got some wood for you. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
The hit and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Didn't, man, go back and check it out on social media. You can check it out on the X, Twitter, YouTube.
Yeah, the segment starts with Alanis Morissette, people.
Sports 56 WHBQ, man, check it out.
Do you keep money on the dresser, John?
Mm-hmm.
Do you drive a compressor?
Do you get the most, not the lesser? John, talk to us.
Didn't know it. Could not talk it. I know who can talk it, Ricky Fondren. Check out, seriously, if you missed it, the playbook, using sports to unlock faith principles. Every coach, every kid, everybody in Memphis needs to grab it. Ricky, one more time, what's the local place we can get it? Everybody knows Amazon.
Novel. Shop local. Novel.
Novel. I like that, man. Go to Novel, check it out. It is something that you will definitely love. Now,
before we get to Wood, I got a question for Ricky. He mentioned something on my Facebook post. He was talking about USA basketball might be in some danger by 2028, and I kind of agree with them. I want them to elaborate a little further.
Yeah, I need to hear this.
So your post was the last U.S.-born MVP was James Harden in 2018. Mm-hmm. Just looking at the landscape of international basketball, how France is on the rise, Canada is on the rise, the older heads on the U.S. team are getting older. It's like, who are we going to pass this torch to? And before you say any name, thinking about the international landscape of basketball and what that looks like. So when you think about players flourishing on the international level, you think about Ant Edwards, I'm like, love you, but I don't know how his game translates to that level. Jason Tatum, he couldn't even play. So I'm like, so my question to you all is, are we in trouble? Like, who is going to pick up that mantle?
It ain't automatic. I definitely know that. And I felt like that. I knew it wasn't automatic when we was in France in 2024, because I'm looking at that then. I'm like, if they don't see Canada, they're going to have to deal with Wimby them in the final. Yep. And what we see from them, like, it's just they on the rise, man. You know what I'm saying? And then Canada, with the way that they're growing with it, it's like, it's really more of a, to me, it's more of a grassroots problem with America and how we treat basketball and development anyway.
Yep.
We treat it like it's the show, it's the NBA, but these people play basketball. Like, it's not so much as I'm a role guy and I just get rebounds. No, that role guy know how to knock down the jumper. He can make the extra pass. He's got a great basketball IQ. It's being taught differently. You know what I'm saying? It's being grown differently. We have to send our heavy hitters. If it's not KD, Bron, Steph, it's like, who's the next line of American players that are going to hold that down? And even when we sent them, you still had to have Steph.
Heroics, crazy. Like, he had to go crazy.
But I credit some of that downfall of American basketball to things like high school hoop mixtapes and stuff.
That
sparked the want to have highlights in high school and college. And
we now microwaved it too much.
Now I'm playing one-on-one ball. And a lot of these kids are getting training, but they're not applying that training and developing their IQ with basketball games and things like that until they get to a circuit after they built the name up and things of that nature. And even when you look at high school sports now, a lot of high school Whitehaven had a great team this year. But it was like some games you don't want to go to because I'm not trying to see y'all up by 40 points in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was the early 2000s, when I was a little kid, you know, you could watch an Oak Haven and Sheffield game and it'd be a nail biter to the end. Or you can watch Hillcrest versus Fairley and they give you an exciting game, you know. But now it's just, and even with the NIL and stuff like that, that kind of culture has trickled down to high school. And especially after Penny came to East that time. And then everybody started going to different schools and piling up schools and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's like the talent isn't as diverse as it used to be back in the 2000s and things of that nature. And all of that has to do with, you know, getting my name out there, coach.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that high school tip because my boy Coach Les Stewart, shout out to him, he spent a couple of years coaching on the EYBL scholastic circuit, not the AAU, but your Montverde Academies, your IMGs, and he's coaching in this league, and he coached for a couple of programs. And he's like, look at the mock drafts right now and look at the past drafts with American kids. Mm-hmm. All of those kids are coming from EYBL schools.
Yep.
They're coming from the elites. So even when you regular public high school, it ain't it no more in America. Right. You got to be, if you really one of them, you got to be in one of them EYBL programs.
Or else you're going to
come through the mid-major ranks. You can still come out as a player in that. You're just coming in through the back door as opposed, the back door now is.
So was Fred Smith considered back door then?
Pretty much.
Because he just stayed at Briarcrest?
Yeah. And he ain't even signed with Memphis yet.
Yeah, I noticed.
Because they still got
money issue.
Right, you know what I'm saying? But
always an issue.
It's just one of those.
Shoot, didn't I see that $125 million of NIL stuff still being hadn't been paid yet because the NCAA didn't, you know, get on top of that? Am I crazy?
Right.
Hold on, I might have been reading that. Let me check.
But that's just where it is. And it's like everywhere else in the world except America, they treat basketball as a vocation. With America, is still extracurricular. Now we starting to get around to the vocational way of thinking. This is why we have the EYBL Scholastic League.
Yeah.
So they could do that. This is why the shoe companies was like, you know what? We're going to cut this off and pretty much filter the best talent to Adidas schools, to Nike schools, to Under Armour, whatever the case may have been. This is ultimately why Chuck Person ended up going to jail a couple of years ago.
Sorry about that. I did find that. $125 million in promised NIL money remains uncleared as college leaders push back against the College Sports Commission's enforcement of third-party deals.
Wow.
So the NCAA and all of them are now having meetings. June 10th, they're going to have a hearing, which can determine the future on how NIL deals are reviewed and approved.
Mm-hmm.
And it also says that they're now looking at exploring a draft system for high school recruits and transfers, replacing the current NIL contract moving forward.
Yeah,
man, this whole world gone crazy as hell.
All because they don't want to make...
Well, you know who's going to get drafted? All those people in Europe playing pro basketball at 15 years old.
And it's crazy because all they're doing all that just to avoid making players employees. They don't want to make them to be employees. So because... They have to put them on contract.
Yeah. Hell, I just got a text, man. Oregon's suing the little defensive back, Dakota Fields, who transferred to Oklahoma. Mm. Now you got universities suing people.
And it got ugly, all because the NCAA didn't want to regulate to begin with. They wanted to pout.
Damn, they only,
to do with it.
Oregon is suing him for $30,000, dude.
But $30,000?
You got to be...
That's a lawsuit to try to get other people at Oregon to see that. Hey,
that's the attorney fee.
Yeah, that's what I was sitting here thinking. I'm looking at
it. It's a lawsuit to show they other players that we will make an example out of you.
This is true.
Yeah, but look what happened when Tennessee made an example out of Nico Iamaleava, and he's over at UCLA. And right now, Tennessee, Josh Heupel, better do something well because his job be on the hot seat.
Look.
When they, you think he gonna look back and be like, man, I should have gave Nico that bread?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't either. That's what I'm saying.
What I'm saying though is that is where right now you have to admit
Nico,
that
I'm gonna leave you.
Tennessee fans, and again, fans are not, they're fans, they're fanatics. They right. love their program. They want nothing but dubs. They want to go there, drink beer, scream, yell, and win, so they can go home happy and.
Why are these deals being approved without certified agents to begin with?
It's a great. Actually, again, when you open up something like this and you have the thing that drives me more crazy about this whole situation than anything is we've always talked about colleges. They're institutions of higher learning.
All right.
How in the hell can the people who are teaching everybody how to do everything not figure out the finance? You ain't got anybody over in your business department who knows what the hell they doing?
Chaos.
There ain't a law school out there where you can talk to some professors and figure out the right way to do this. So we're going to have literally the one institution that educates everybody make the biggest, stupidest screw up in the history of sports.
Chaos for the sake of chaos, though.
Like, what in the hell?
For real.
It just, it is asinine.
And you know who takes majority of the blame for that? Unfairly? The players. Everybody talking about how the players are out of control. It's like, are y'all not looking at the system that we're dealing with this institution?
Also, it does, we have so many problems when it comes to higher education institutions. one thing I was going to tell you is, one, college is so damn expensive if you're an athlete now.
Yeah.
Now, if you're an athlete, college is Gucci because when I went to school, quarter scholarships. Mm-hmm. That's it, 25%. Baseball players, cheerleaders didn't get paid nothing. I mean, football was full scholarship. Basketball had like 12 full and then like, you know, three or four partials.
Partial, yeah, something like
that. You know, baseball, like you might have had one dude who was getting a full scholarship, and that's because he's Billy Badass.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else is getting halves and quarters because schools only had so many scholarships to give out. Now they're paying for all the education, the books, the room, the board, the food. And they getting coin in their pocket. If my daughter, who was cheerleading, was getting $600 in NIL, she's an Ole Miss cheerleader. This is no joke, my man. They won the national championship, which is like, I guess, you know, you're the best cheerleading team in the country. And my girl went from, I sent her money every month to, oh, I'm good, Dad. I get my NIL this. I got this. I got this. I got this. I don't pay for this. I don't pay for that. You just pay for Kappa Gamma dues, and we good. And thank God, because those were $5,800 a semester.
Now, that's just on the cheerleading side. When we had David Aki Collins on the morning show a few weeks ago, the low-end estimate just to be in contention for the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, $15 million on average. That's just for basketball, men's basketball. We ain't talking about the women because they're getting theirs too.
And then you also have to think about just also like Memphis. How can you compete when an athletic department like Texas raised $170 million this year? Or Tennessee, who raised $110, Oklahoma $92. I mean, like, it is, gee, you willikers.
You can't.
I didn't even talk about any of the Big Ten teams.
Speaking of, did you see that the Big Ten and the fiasco what they got with Duke basketball? Because the Duke-Michigan game that Amazon Prime is promoting with Duke, Michigan's trying to get, like, I think they're trying to catch half of the bag or whatever. And it's like, man, that ain't y'all bag. That's Duke bag. Y'all just a part of the show. But we talking $15, $20 million rosters with those two programs, and they beefing over money for a game that they going to play in November.
Basketball?
Yeah.
But Michigan, probably like we're national champs.
Michigan looking at it like national champs, I mean, Big Ten Network, the whole thing.
You can't knock them.
But Duke is like,
we're Duke. You know? I'm not faulting Michigan for coming like that. Like, no. Look, we just won a national championship. We want half of the bag.
Duke got a three game. They got three games out of it. They got one with Michigan. They got UConn. They got a rematch with UConn. Both of those are going to be played before Christmas.
Yeah.
And then they got Gonzaga on the 2027 side of the calendar. That's a part of the three-game package, all with Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
I forgot what the figure was, but it's stupid.
And this money is crazy.
But to me, that kind of feels like we're the Millers. When he was traveling with all of them, and then he promised the one that played the wife a couple of $1,000s. That's how it feels. It's like you coming up on the bag for ratings for Amazon Prime. But you scheduled these games for who you think is going to give you a better game.
They going to go for what the draw is.
So, yeah, as Michigan, I want some of that money.
Yeah. Well, they going to get broke, you know. They going to get broke all proper for certain. I think they was more or less trying to aim at a certain percentage that they felt should have been entitled to. I ain't saying they wrong. I'm saying they probably ain't going to get what they aiming for, but they going to meet somewhere in the middle.
Right. Yeah, no knock, but you're probably not going to get that.
Yeah, you know.
Dang, like I'm looking at Alabama's roster evaluation right now for their starters. On their starters, they're spending $38.04 million.
That's on the football end.
Austin Mack's getting $2.24 million. You got like their running backs making half a milli. Wide receiver, of course, Ryan Williams making 1.6. Noah Rogers making $750,000. Brooks is making $865,000. Their tight ends making $400,000. Their right tackle, their left tackle, both making over $1 million. 1.2 actually, over both $1 million. The whole offensive line's making over $500,000. Defensive line's making $1 million. Linebackers are making half.
The fun part about this conversation is that people always like to refer to the SEC schools because it's
The cornerbacks are all making over $650,000 all the way up to $950,000.
But the bread is in the Big Ten. Indiana got the bread. Michigan got the bread. You know what I'm saying?
Ohio State.
And by the way, just one quick, since I got you in here, Ricky, man, how's Kurt Cignetti done this?
Man.
I mean, I know he says he's a winner. I know he's cocky. I think it's because he goes out there and finds older men, and this is the truth. Listen, boys are like young boys are still boys.
Yeah.
Like an 18-year-old body,
it's a boy.
You might be built like a brick house, but you're going to even be built like a bigger man at 23 years old.
Yeah, you're not Adrian Peterson.
Like, I mean, you get Fernando Mendoza, who's a two-star, who's, like, playing, wanting to go to Miami, out on the West Coast, nobody even paying attention to him. They bring him in. The year before that, they brought in Rourke from Ohio, not Ohio State, Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
No, Ohio Bobcats, sorry, it was Bobcats.
Yeah.
But he goes out there and gets these full-grown-ass men who were two- and three-star recruits who are hungry, and he brings them in, and he works their ass.
Yeah.
And I just kind of feel like that might be just – like, right now, he figured it out, and it seems like older, hungrier people are better than your five-star young bucks.
And they got the finances to replenish it. He got the backing of the alumni. Yeah. It's his show.
But it's Indiana. Like, how did it get to here? Which is, like, just proof what he did is absolutely amazing. Wow. Indiana football.
You know it's more than money. It's a culture.
That's what
it has to be a culture.
Mm-hmm.
A culture thing. So when I think about Indiana coach, I think about the culture that Dan Hurley has created at UConn. Three Final Fours in 4 years.
And he told him when he got the job.
You don't do that without culture. Now, you can say he's a butthole. And I remember when they played Memphis, man, that man mouth is like trash. But it's the culture. And those kids know that he loves them.
Yeah.
He's
got their back.
And you can see it coming across on the sidelines.
I mentioned the same thing with Greg Gasson and Eli Savoy when we were talking about him. I was that same thing. It's like, for as much as he barks and fusses, those dudes know that he riding with them. Yep. He got their back for certain.
That makes a world of difference.
And that's why they go hard for him. It's a mutual thing, you know. So, and like Rick said, that's culture. That's how you build a culture like that. And he told them that when he first got the gig, he was like, look, y'all better get us now.
Yep.
Because we're in about 2 years. Yeah.
Well, the problem is I just looked this up. I had to look it up. I wanted to know how much they spent on their team last year. Kurt Cignetti said he spent $15 million on his football team.
So that can't
on
be
the right.
low end?
Yeah. That would be the lowest lowest.
He spent that on his starters.
Okay, here it is. He said it on a show. He said, so did your team? Oh, okay, he was doing an interview with On Three, my buddy Andy on air, and they said, so did your team cost, what, $40 million? And he said, nah, I think it was closer to 15. And then at the end of the interview, it was corrected. They spent exactly $27.4 million. That is it still on the low
That's
end.
30.
It's close to 30, but I mean,
Penn
hell.
State, Michigan, Ohio,
dude, have you seen what LSU's doing right now? They spent almost $50 million on this year's roster. They better, because if you look at their schedule. Because
we're away spending the money, too, on the basketball side. And they ain't even got folks because they waiting to see on what they're going to spend. They going international.
I'll tell you one thing. Lane is spending money, and they better do good because they got Clemson they're opening up with. You got week three in Oxford. They got A&M, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Auburn, Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, and Arkansas. Man, they don't even have a bye till week 9. Back in two shakes. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.
Back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. We've been chilling like villains, man. Had a busy show. Talked a lot about the Eastern and Western Conference Finals.
You want to remind your listeners that you don't have a show tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, and listeners, I have no show tomorrow because we're doing the SEC tournament. I'm the biggest Ole Miss fan in real life, but, man, I'm really an Ole Miss baseball fan now. I could get 2 days off, people.
Hey, I even got – well, they got to win one of them.
They're going to win, baby. Let's go, Ole Miss. Ole Miss baseball. Yeah, tomorrow morning you're going to hear Ole Miss baseball. The SEC tournament is starting. I will not be here. Wolo will not be here.
We will jump off on the mornings with
9 o'clock, right?
Yeah, we'll jump off at 9 o'clock, jump right over to the Ole Miss coverage, and we'll roll from there.
It's going to be fun, man. I'll tell you one thing. Seems like a perfect day on the way home to stop by my local watering hole, give me a little bit of Tito's, because if life hands me lemons, I never freak out. I don't fret. I don't stress. I just make a lemon drop. I always make sure it's with the best. And you know that's Tito's handmade vodka.
It's always fun when people get to hear you do that the first time and they just chuckle. I'm not even looking at Ricky. I'm just seeing him out the corner of my eye. He's dying over here like, this man really cut a liquor promo?
Man, you have no idea. I love it, too. And by the way, man, 6 times it's distilled before it's distilled in classic copper pots. That's an old-school method that gives it a slightly sweet with a black pepper note. It balances everything out. You could be crafting a cocktail, or you could just drink it neat. Whatever you do, though, grab the best Tito's handmade vodka. Tonight, we got a big game to bet on.
What's the line?
Man, 6.5. You got OKC, 6.5-point favorites at home against Wemby and the Spurs, and you saw what... Ooh, that was ugly. Like, what the Spurs did to Minnesota. And we didn't even mention the Ant thing, because I just wanted to say one thing. I don't give a damn that Ant walked off with 8 minutes when his team quit playing on him. He had two knee braces. He came back early. And again, I would have rather him stayed on the court and punched Randall in the face about 6 times, because that was the...
Then we had a long show today.
Man... I'm surprised Dante DiVincenzo didn't punch him. I saw him after the game. They weren't happy with him.
I mean, he could have swung a crutch at the brother or something, you know, but he probably didn't want to do that, man. You know,
I think the LeBron stare down from them, whenever LeBron stare at you and you get traded, I think that worked just fine.
That's a good point.
I think Randall out of there.
That's a good point.
You got to. I mean, what did he get his feelings hurt because of the Giannis rumors or something?
Possibly. Sometimes they
pro sports, bro.
He probably tired of being on the move, y'all. This man been a Laker. He been a Knick.
Well, how about like go in there and fight, like actually get along?
I agree with you 100%.
You know, if you notice the teams that seem
he might have been sick of Chris Finch. Might have been a couple of things.
Man, I'll tell you one thing, man. I'm also sick of them. Like, I can't be making fun of
I believe Julius Randle could fight, though. I'm just saying.
I believe Ant would take him.
You saw the haircut he had when he first started game 5?
Yeah, no kidding, bro. Also, man, never mind.
Yeah, silly.
Also, I know I got one text from Superman. He said, shine and jam. That's it. Soup said, if your hair's nappy, shine and jam will make you happy. Spurs and Thunder, though. I just feel like this could be one of those games where I can see the Thunder taking control. But just the way that the Spurs have been playing, I think this is going to be a knockdown, like, slugfest.
I might not take a point spread bet on that until we get live.
Because what do you think about the total being 217?
That makes sense. I can get with 217 probably going over in game one, and probably game two it won't be over. Because they finna hit each other in the chest defensively, dog. They finna get at it.
The thing about it is the Spurs and the Thunder always score over 100 points.
Me and
Jared, always score me and Jared easily
this
over 100.
Out, though. When you get up in the Thunder chest, it's like, oh,
so y'all do want to play tonight.
Yeah, it's like they kind of,
you
show
the Thunder,
you
want to play tonight.
And they adjust to it, and then they bring it back to you. That's where we're going to get the great series at.
I think it's going over 217.
I think so, too, tonight.
I just think first game, yeah. They're going to get after it fast, furious.
Yeah. They'll see Jamal Crawford at the scores table.
And I'm an under, and you know, in the postseason, I'm an undertaking fool.
You're an undertaking guy. I'm with you on that in the postseason.
But these two teams, I think that's just set it a little bit low. I'd have it more like 222, 223.
And they probably going to really push the pace on going over early. As the game move along, it's going to slow down. You know, that's just when we get to the fourth quarter, that's when we probably going to see the Rock fight, if it's not, like, extremely just out of hand at that point.
Well, if you want to have a great life, do me a big favor. Make sure you check out Ricky Fondren's book. It's The Playbook. It's using sports to unlock faith and principles. If you can't become a pro at life, please. You can get it at Novel. You can also get it at Amazon. For Jared, for Darian, for Jay, for Ricky, I'm John. Y'all get out there, make that world a better place. You know we're going to see you on the flip side, because Ole Miss baseball tomorrow.
I'll let y'all Thursday.
Holler at your boy.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.